Precious, sweetest that ever was heard. That's good singing this morning.
This is my Father's will, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the sphere. This is my Father's will, I rest me in the fall of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wondrous wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily bright, declares their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He's shining all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass, and speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Take your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke. I'm sorry, the book of Mark. Of course, we've been going through the Mark on Sunday mornings. Mark chapter number 1 is, we're going to look at the next 5 verses. This is one of these miracles that probably not the most popular one. You know, many times when people think of what the most popular miracles were, most well-known ones, the feeding of the 5,000 maybe, the Christ rising from the dead, healing Lazarus. This is probably not one as well known, but as we're going through an entire book of the Bible, you come across those passages that maybe aren't spoke about as much. And to be honest with you, it's one of the most powerful and amazing miracles that I believe Jesus performed. In this time, in this story, you even get to see with this miracle part of the heart of the Lord, some of the compassion that God has towards the person who was sick. Now, we're going to talk about the healing of one leper. There's 2 times in the Bible that's mentioned, or at least 2 different stories that talks about the lepers. Remember the 10 and how one just came back and said they were thankful. We talked about that in children's church, not today, but the week before. Many times that's a message that's heard around the Thanksgiving time about whether or not we're being thankful or grateful for what we have. And then also the story about this leper here. Now, leprosy was probably one of the most feared diseases in all the time and back in Bible times. There are some different reasons for that, but I'd like to kind of paint a picture this morning of what this man might be had to go through and talk about a leper for a little bit. First, let's read these verses and then we'll jump right in. The title to this morning's message is, If Thou Wilt, Thou Canst Make Me Clean. If Thou Wilt, Thou Canst Make Me Clean. Verse number 40, the Bible said, and there came, actually we'll start in verse 39, that's where we left off last week, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. Remember how it was time to go to the next town. He does that. He goes to the synagogues and he preaches throughout all Galilee, and it says, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him. Now, look how the leper comes. He comes to him, beseeching him, begging him, earnestly pleading with him, and kneeling down to him, showing reverence and respect, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, I think that's It's a beautiful picture, and we're going to look at how he approaches Jesus. But think about that. Whatever is happening in your life right now, Jesus can fix it just like that if he chose to. And that's what the leper comes to. He says, if thou wilt. And that's, it's not the question whether or not God can step in, if God can change it. The question is he willing? He's able to do all things, but it's not always within his will, not always within his timing. But he comes, and you see him coming in a humble way, and he's beseeching him. He is earnestly. There's no genie in the bottle approach. Hey, God, you need to give me this. There's no pretending that Jesus is Santa Claus and saying, hey, you owe this to me. I've been good all year. No, no, no. He comes to him humbly saying, you, I'm not demanding anything of you. I'm not viewing you as some type of resource where I can just get something from you. He says, no, no. He said, if you're willing to do it, I know you can. I think that's how we should live our lives. We come in a humble way before the Lord. We come before him and we earnestly plead for those things that God has laid upon our heart. And we say, God, we know that you're able to. And if you're willing, will you make me clean? Will you help me with this relationship? Will you help me with this issue? Will you help me with this problem? Last week, we looked at how Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law and how he did the private healing and he did the public healing, how there was diverse types of diseases. And we talked about the power of God, that he can do anything. And I don't know what you're facing today, but God can help you in whatever situation, whatever problem, anything you're going through. But here's the thing, you got to come to him his way. It's got to be done his way. In our children's church this morning, we had a few extra that was there, and we're thankful for that. We talked about God, and the Bible story this morning was, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. On nothing, God is there, and God says, let there be light, and there's light. And we taught the young people today the importance of the will of God. And we talked to what the word will meant. We're talking about it's a desire, it's a plan. And that because he's God and because he created us, we should care about his will. And we talked the difference about authority and all those different things that you might not listen to your brother or sister, or your younger brother or sister telling you what to do. But when God says something, we should be listening because we want to know what his desire is. And that's what that book is all about. Finding out what God's desire is for our life and doing it. And when we come to this, he's there, he's God, he's able to do all those things. And this leper enters into a crowd of people and he says to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Look at his next three or four words. And Jesus moved with compassion. He felt his hurt. He loved him. So let's talk about leprosy for a second to give you a little bit of idea about this disease. Now, today, the disease is not as prevalent because there is a cure for it, but it is a highly infectious disease. It was incurable in Bible times. At least today, there is some type of treatment that can be done. And no other disease was feared as leprosy. To give you a little bit of an understanding, it starts off by making your body fatigue and you have pain in your joints. I know some of you are thinking, that's old age. I'm tired all the time and I have pain in my joints. Well, it keeps on going. Scaly spots would develop on the skin, and as the disease progressed, the body would be covered with pus-filled nodules. The appearance of the face would be altered, so the sufferer would resemble almost an animal-like. Nodules would grow on the vocal cords so that the leper spoke with that raspy-type voice. The body was in a state of a living decomposition. Thus, a terrible stench surrounded the leper constantly. Leprosy attacked the nervous system. It compromises the body's ability to feel pain. It acted as an anesthetic. It numbed the body to the point where if they stepped on a stone or a thorn, they would not even know about it. It came to the point where they could, if someone dropped something in a fire, they could pick it up, not realizing they were being burned. And if they washed their face with scalding hot water, not understanding it, they could have caused themselves to be blind. This sounds a little bit gross, but I read it in a couple different places. Talked about many times in the leper colonies that it was a very dirty place that sometimes rats and other varmints would come and chew on the bodies of the people while they were sleeping. And they would never, ever know about it because they had no pain. Probably the saddest part of it is they were put out of the community. They weren't allowed to be around their family or their friends. They were known for having, especially in Bible times, say, unclean, unclean. And if leprosy ran its entire course, only about 9 years would you live. And you would die a very, very horrible death. One of the worst parts of leprosy was the fact that it's talked about in Leviticus is that there's commands for people to be clear in a way. Back in Bible times, those rabbis and those religious leaders added certain things to the restrictions, adding to the law. If a leper stuck his head into a home, it was considered unclean. It was against the law to greet a leper, to touch a leper. It was determined that the leper would be banished from the village, no longer allowed to have communion with other people, and they would group together. It says it was unlawful for a leper to approach within 50 feet of a clean person. And on a windy day, they changed their rule to 200 feet. He could not touch his family. He could only see them from a distance. Families at the beginning would bring food and clothing for a while, but after a time, most families actually had a funeral service regarding the afflicted person as a dead man. People looked upon this as a curse from God. The lepers would have to tear their garments according to the new rules that they had to show that they were a leper. Even the rabbis had added in there that they would have to dress as a mourner going to a funeral service because they were going to their own funeral service. Put over his upper lip, he wore a cloth and so he would not spread the contamination. You know what everybody's thinking about, those masks, right? And they would have to say unclean, unclean when they saw one coming. The leper cries would warn the lepers was nearby, and people would, if the leper was nearby and would not listen, it would talk about how in times they would stone the leper because he wasn't paying attention to the laws that were being given. So as we see this man coming to Jesus, Jesus is surrounded by people. Can you imagine what if the leper enters into that group? Maybe he has that cloth over his face. Maybe he's saying unclean, unclean his whole time while he's running there. And he's putting himself at a humble spot. But think about this man, his body's probably disfigured. He hasn't touched anybody or been touched by anybody since this leprosy happened, except for maybe another leper. And he runs to Jesus and he's saying unclean, unclean. And I'm sure what would happen then is the crowd would start parting because nobody wanted to be near him. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. I can imagine the disciple that took the children off of Jesus' lap and says, oh, no, Jesus can't be bothered. The disciples aren't going to do that with the lepers. I can imagine the leper, the disciples are standing back. Everyone else scatters but one. And that was Jesus. And he runs and he kneels down and he looks at him. He said, if thou canst heal me. And I'm thinking that the people in the crowd that are there, they're probably thinking, what is that guy doing there? Why is he there? Why is he causing the problem? He could infect all of us instead of saying, man, I hope that Jesus can heal that man. Probably those are there, and there may even been people, because back then it talked about how sometimes they would stone a leper that would get too close, that people, he was risking his life to get to Jesus, that they would pick up the stones and they would stone the leper to get him, make sure he wasn't going to be close. But that man, struggling with a disease that was killing him, body filled with nodules, pussy nodules, face disfigured, different parts of their limbs at different times is known, at least according to history and according to tradition, that sometimes their body parts would come off. And you see this man is in a horrible state. But he heard about Jesus. I don't know about you. He took a chance. You said, why are you saying he took a chance? Well, if it wasn't a chance or a risk of him being killed, why weren't all the other lepers there too? It was something that he was taking a risk to make his way to Jesus, that he didn't care if anybody else understood. He knew something. He knew that he had to get to Jesus. He knew that Jesus could help him. He knew that no one else could help him. And no matter what, he was going to get to God, and he was going to get to him, and he was going to ask him. He was going to beseech him. He was going to beg him. There was a need in this man's life that only Jesus could meet. And he got to him. Now, Jesus could have been just like anyone else and said, stay away from me. Hey, you're too close. Don't you know the law? But it says he had a different response in verse 41. And Jesus was moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him. I don't know about you, but the feeling of another person's touch, of a person who had not been touched for years, something I'm sure was a huge encouragement to him. And he saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And I think, and I was reading through that story, I think about the troubles that we have today and the hardships that we have and the difficulties that we have. And we make a mess of our lives sometimes. Sometimes we're at a spot where we are just completely in need. And what we need to learn how to do is get to Jesus, get to God, and say, I know you can help me. And if it's in your will you please help me? And pray. But that's not the prayer life that we see of many of us. We become so expecting certain things from God that we will act whatever way we want to. We will boldly into his presence. I know it says that we can boldly enter into his presence to find the help. I know that. But God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace to the humble. If that leopard had not been humble, he might have walked away unhealed. And I think sometimes God teaches us things. We talked this morning in our Sunday school class about the fiery serpents. We talked about how they got discouraged in the way and how that discouragement became pride, because that's what it is. When we don't think God is doing what we should, what he should do for our life, we are being prideful because we think too highly of ourselves. And because we think too highly of ourselves, God has no reason to treat me like this. But that's not how he approaches. That's not how we get the help that God is willing to offer. And the amazing thing is that God is able, and that lepers, his faith seems like it's seamless. It seems like it's fearless. His faith seems like it's spot on. He doesn't expect it from God, but he knows God can do it. He is begging God or beseeching God, and he's earnest with God as God asks us to can pray without ceasing, and the fervent prayer of a righteous man. And he's there, and he comes, and he comes boldly because he's there, and he says, I know you can help me. Will you please help me? Others would have probably had rocks in their hands, say, if he gets any closer to me. And Jesus touches him. What's the difference? The others are not seeing him as someone who is in pain and someone who's in need and someone that's hurting. Others are seeing him as a problem or a distraction or a nuisance. Of course, Jesus is the healer. Of course, he's going to respond in a different way. But even though we don't deal with leprosy today in a general sense, there are many people out there in the world that are hurting and that are struggling. And we look at them as a nuisance or a heartache instead of showing them there is a Savior that can and is willing and able to help you. But forget about everybody else for right this second and look at ourselves and say, is there something in my heart? Is there something in my life that I've allowed to continue on and I am not humbly coming before him? For a second, I like to think about the comparison of leprosy and sin. In Bible times, many times Bible teachers would give this comparison of what leprosy and sin looks like. I found it interesting, and I'm going to give you a short comparison here. So let's understand what Jesus did for that man is something he can do for anybody in this room today. Even though leprosy is not something that any of us are dealing with today, but we have a problem, and it is a sin problem. We all are in need of a Savior. And if you're here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, it is something as if the type of problems that leprosy brings is the type of problems that sin brings. The leper was considered the embodiment of impurity. The external defilement of the disease was seen to represent the internal defilement of the heart. Think about this. The leper was a living, breathing commentary on the effects of sin. Leviticus 13, it lays out the regulations of diagnosing and dealing with leprosy. Think about this. Leprosy is deeper than the skin. Our sin is deeper than our skin. The outward manifestation of sin is merely a window of our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The sins that we struggle with, the attitudes and the anger and the perverse thoughts and things like that, they don't begin because of on the outward things. It begins because of inner. People aren't sinners because they sin. People sin because we're sinners. Leprosy starts off small and then it spreads. Think about that, how sometimes a sin will begin off as something that's so small and so little. We think about in the story of David and the sin that he had. It was just a sin, a little spot of laziness that turned into a plague of adultery and unwanted pregnancy, lies and murder. And the leopard might see that one tiny spot on the skin one day, but it wasn't many days until his flesh was consumed. If you allow a little bit of sin here, a little bit of sin there, it's going to come and it's going to spread, just as the leprosy spreads. Leprosy defiles everything it touches. Everything it touches. When a man was stricken with leprosy, he was totally and thoroughly defiled. Sin has a way of poisoning a person's entire life. It will poison your family, your relationship. It will devastate and ruin everything it touches in your life. Just ask Achan what it did to his family and his life. Leprosy isolates us. The leper was isolated from the camp of the clean. He was forced to dwell alone on the fringes of society, and sin also isolates. It drives a wedge between a family members, and it drives a wedge away from other people that are trying to live for God. It drives a wedge in the fact of people that love the Lord from those that continue to live in their sin. Leprosy destines things for fire. Anything a leper touched, it would have to be burned. So it is with sin, that the sin that is in our life is not dealt with will someday cause us to be burning forever. Wow. Leprosy and sin is something that Bible scholars have been comparing and the picture of it throughout the Bible. And that's what this man who was desperately, and people are looking at him and thinking it's a judgment of God on his life and seeing the leper that was there, disgusted by him, but Jesus loves him. We live in a world today that we're disgusted by their sin that God loves. And how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to approach it? We must learn to deal with our own sin, our own issues. And I think the leper gives us this perfect picture of, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. So what do we learn from that? Where do we go? You say, well, Pastor, I got problems in my life. It doesn't seem like God's working. If God's not moving, I don't see what's going on. And like we learned this morning in Sunday school class, our problem sometimes is because of our sin. Our problem sometimes is because of someone else's sin that we're around. And our problem sometimes is just it's the sin-cursed world that we live in. And God is teaching us and training us and making us able and ready to do something for his honor and for his glory. And in this issue, when we see this, we got a God that can do all things. We got a God who says he is compassionate and that he loves us. Then what is going on in my life? Is it because there's something in there that I need to go before him and say, God, there's a problem and I need your help. God, if you will, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And God, you can help me. And God, I know you can help me. And Lord, if you're willing to, will you please help me? But we cannot continue on just expecting God is going to do this or that for me. And we treat God like he's some type of lucky rabbit's foot and say, God, here it is. That name it and claim it, prosperity gospel. And once again, if it's found in the word of God, it's a promise and he's going to keep us true and he's going to do those things. I understand all that, but I'm talking about the issues that he allows to happen in our lives. The compassion that Christ had, it's a feeling of a deep sympathy, a sorrow for another who was stricken with a misfortune. It's feeling the other person's pain. And Jesus was tempted just like as we are, as our great high priest. So that he put forth his hand and touched him. It meant that he got involved. It meant that he was personal. It meant that he cared, and he showed that he cared. It says in verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. It happens immediately. It talks about the power of God, and it's what God can do and how God can work. So today, is there something that you need to bring before him and say, Lord, I know you can help me. Lord, are you willing? And then you see that picture that, you know what? I know God loves me, and I know if I'm going through a tough time, know I'm going through a hard time, it's not always because of sin. Sometimes I have sweet people that would ask. They're God-fearing people. They try to walk with the Lord. You can tell from their life, and they call me up or they say, hey, Pastor, I don't know what sin is in my life because these bad things are happening. Bad things do happen to good people. But many times, if we have bad things happening in our life, well, you like to use that as an excuse. Instead of examining our life, instead of asking the Lord to judge me, like it talks about in Psalms chapter number 26, examine me, judge me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. And that's Psalms 139. You know, show me those things. God, I want your help. I need your help. And I'm not expecting, I'm not demanding. You're God. Whatever you're going to let me go through, I'm willing to. But if there's something in my life I need your help with, God, would you please help me? That's kind of an interesting rest of the story. It says in verse 44, he gives them a charge. And they say unto him, we'll start in verse 43, he straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away. And he saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. We're not going to go through there and look through that whole entire thing, but it's a beautiful picture of salvation. I'm talking about the shedding of blood, the remission of sin, the cleansing. Jesus says, look, don't tell anybody about this. I want you to go to the priest. That's what he's supposed to do first. Jesus never broke the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he's there and he says, go to the priest. And it says, but verse 45, he says, but he went out and began to publish it much. He didn't listen. He was so excited. He was healed. Everybody he saw across the way, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And I understand why he would have done that. But Jesus wanted him to go to the priest. He wanted him to do it the right way. Many of those priests did not even believe in Jesus at that point. But what testimony that would have been for this man that was a leper, that had all those nodules, had all those problems. Everybody probably knew who he was. He says, hey, I'm here for you to check to see if I'm clean. Nowhere else. Besides the few times that there was lepers in the Bible, but nowhere else do we see that the cleaning of the leprosy and someone coming to the priest, how that shock must have been for that priest. I bet you he might even had to go back and look it up in Leviticus chapter whatever 13 or 12 or 13 to see exactly what's supposed to be done. And because he's there and he maybe sees the first time at every person that was been cleansed from leprosy, I don't know, but there's there. And it was an incurable disease at that time. And they go before the priest. What a testimony. And the priest would say to him, oh, you're not clean. You got it. And he says, wow, what happened to you? So what happened to you? He says, Jesus healed me. What a testimony that would have been. And I'm sure the man went to the priest, but he went and did all, he went and talked. And because he talked, he didn't listen to the Lord. And because of that, it says that it made Jesus' ministry harder. It says, and he went out and began to publish it much. The blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So no longer was he able to go into the towns and see the people. He was driven out to desert places. And is there anything wrong with that? There's not, but the people he wanted to minister to, he says, look, 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 I want you to go do this. He didn't listen. Because of that, he was driven out, that made ministry harder, made it harder for people that maybe that never would come to see him and hear him. They had to go now, and some would never come. We don't always understand why God asks us to do certain things, but we should always be obedient. We should always look to understand, hey, if God's asking me to do it, he's God, he created the world, okay? If he loves me, he's compassionate about me, I'm willing to go through and live through anything because he's right there with me, going through it with me. What do we learn from today's lesson or message? Leprosy is a bad thing. It's literally stinks. It's something that was incurable and could not get any help. But there was one that could help them, and that was Jesus. Sin is a bad thing. It's devastating. We like to play with our sin. We like to keep our sin. We like to keep our pet sin. We like not to deal with certain things, issues. But all we have to do is go before him and say, recognize, if thou wilt, if you're willing, thou can make me whole. You can make me whole. You can help me. You can give me everything I need. Sometimes healing is not what's needed most. Sometimes there's needs in our lives that we don't even recognize or see. But as we fall on our faces before the Lord, earnestly beseeching him, it wasn't just, hey, you can heal me. Go ahead and heal me. You get a picture of a man who is desperate because they understand without God, there was no hope for him. I think we've lost our desperation when it comes to living our lives. We need him just as much as this leper needed him. We need the Lord and his intervention. We need the healing and the cleaning that only God can bring. And yes, this man was now able to go back to his family. Yes, this man was now able to be in the community. Yes, this man was able to do all those different things. It was a blessing. But when it comes to sin and how leprosy is representative of sin, many of us have that sin that has now begun to show on the outside, and we just don't want to deal with it, even though others see it, and others stay away because of the bitterness or the quarreling or because of the disputing and the murmuring. He's like, I don't want to be around them. They're changed. They're different. They got sin in their heart, and they got sin in their life. They got a bad attitude and this other things. And we, those that are living for the Lord, they don't have to separate from them. Usually those that are not living for the Lord is going to find somebody else that doesn't want to do what's right either. I don't know how many times I've heard testimonies. I remember Wesley Norris used to tell me, he said, those people that were my friends before I got saved, when I started acting like I was saved, they just went away on their own. And that's the truth of the matter. And the reality is that we want to be around God's people. We want to embrace God's people. We don't want to be separated. We don't want to be pulled away. We don't want to be pushed out. We don't want to be the one that has the sin and the unclean heart and the unclean thought life and the unclean process. We need to work together. The Bible speaks of unity in the church. The Bible speaks of having one mind, striving together. We need to have people that are on the same page, seeking to have the mind of Christ, looking at the Bible and looking at the Word of God and saying, okay, what does the Scripture say? This is how I want to live. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to react. These are all the things. And working together for the glory of God. And yes, there are people who struggle in churches sometimes, but those are the ones that we pray for. Those are the ones that we have compassion on. Those are the ones that we encourage. Jesus did not just shun this man. Jesus touches this man when no one else was willing to. And that's how you say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to help. The greatest thing you can do for some people's life is pray. I remember, I think it was in the Revival Praying book, that our prayers can do more than our sermons can. God can do more in a second than what I could do in 10 million lives lived in the flesh. We seek God. And if yes, we should preach. Yes, we should encourage. Yes, we should correct. And yes, all those other things. But do we pray? That's why the Bible says, ye that are spiritual. If we're not spiritual, we should not try to take on the role of fixing somebody else. We need to come to him today. And as this leper does, beseeching. He knows it's important. He's not putting it off. He knows that there's only one that can help him. And he goes to him and he beseeches him. He kneels down to before him. And the fact that he reverences him and he looks at him as he's God. And he says something in his faith. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If he didn't make him clean, he was still going to be God. But he made him clean that day. And I'm not saying if you come to God, he's going to fix every one of your problems. But I'm telling you, you have a God that's compassionate and loving and that is able to fix those problems if he believes that's what's best for you. And we are supposed to learn from those things. We're supposed to grow from those things. We are not supposed to act fleshly. We are not supposed to respond in ways that we see appropriate and right. We are supposed to make sure that we're clean. And today I want to encourage you, whether at your seat or at the altar, Lord, I know there's things in my life, but I know you can help me. God, will you please show me, teach me the things, give me the grace to handle it. Help me not to become discouraged. Help me, as we learned this morning, they became discouraged this way in the Sunday school, and they became murmurers, and they became complainers, and they influence everyone else, and they end up being bitten by fiery snakes. No, I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to influence people around me that way. God, will you please help me? Show me what you need. Show me what you want me to learn. Teach me from the actions and reactions. I'm coming to you, and just as much as Jesus loved and had compassion on that man, Jesus will love and have compassion on us, and he'll give us everything we need in order to live the life he wants us to live. That's the truth. It's the Bible. It might not feel that way sometimes, but he loves us and he cares for us, and he's not going to give us more than we can handle as long as we're depending on him. Some people say, well, he's giving me more than I can handle. It's because he's giving you more you can handle because he wants you to turn to him. He wants you to put the care on him. He wants you to walk with him. He's willing to carry it with you. So today, I know I've said this prayer many times in my life this week. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And I know I need your help, Lord. Please help make me clean. Show me those areas I need help with. Give me the grace to deal with the situations and the problems and the issues. Help me not to become discouraged. Discouragement is a bad sin because you get your eyes focused off God and you get your eyes focused on the situation. Instead of seeing a God that can do all things, run to him today, kneel to him today, and say, God, I know you can do this. Help me. Show me how to fix this, or give me the grace to know how to handle this. Just as Paul, as he went up there thrice he asked to take away the thorn in his eye. He says, no, Paul, I'm not going to take this away, but I will give you the grace to handle this. That's what he'll get to us today. Stop trying to get away from the problem. Stop trying to get away from the issues and go to the Savior. We all want the blessings, but what we need to desire is the blesser. We need to desire God and knowing him better and learning and growing from these things. This man, horrible, horrible state. So I'm not in that spot. If you got sin in your heart, you know what? It's going to spread just like the leprosy does. I don't have, and I know we allow a little bit of sin in our hearts and lives and say, well, I'll never act like that. I'll never go that far. I'll never come to the Savior. That sin's going to spoil your life. You say, well, it's just inside. Nobody sees it. It's going to come outwardly. The Bible says that. That's truth. It's the Bible. It's just whether or not we believe what the Bible says. This morning, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Today, if you're don't know if you're going to heaven when you die. That sin, as we talked about before, anything the leper touched had to go in the fire. Your body is going to a fire someday if we don't get it right. It's a horrible place called hell. But the Lord loved you and had compassion on you. He commended his love toward you that while you were sinners on the way to that cross, while you were sinners, Christ died for you to give you a way to spend eternity with him in heaven. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can know that for sure. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the sermon